Welcome back to Mercy Talk Podcast. I am your host, Melanie Carter, and I am the Director of Outreach here at Mercy. And this week, we are continuing on with our Ditch the Baggage series, which covers the seven keys to freedom that we use in our Mercy homes and that are also going to be found in the book Ditch the Baggage, which is written by Mercy's founder and president, Nancy Alcorn. And that book is set to release on October 6th, so we are nearing that date and getting really excited about it. We are also really excited about our upcoming event here in the Nashville area happening on October 2nd and 3rd called the Freedom Experience, which we are going to walk through basically all of these same keys to freedom more in depth over the course of a day and a half. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing time. So please join us for that if you can. For more information or to register online, you can go to mercymultiplied.com. So last week, we had a great podcast with Meredith Myers, who is one of our counselors here in our Nashville Mercy home. And she talked with us about key number six in our series, which is choosing freedom over oppression. Meredith has been a counselor here at Mercy for 9 years, so she has seen hundreds of girls find freedom through our residential program. She really had some awesome insight for us. And in case you're not familiar with our program, Mercy has 4 domestic and 3 international residential homes where young women come and stay an average of 6 months to receive counseling and just find freedom from life-controlling issues, you know, like addiction, sexual abuse, unplanned pregnancy, self-harm, eating disorders, really just about anything that you can imagine. So Mercy counselors use the very principles that we've been talking about in this podcast series to help girls uncover the root issues in their lives and really experience and find true and lasting freedom. So this week, we have a really powerful story from another one of our Mercy staff members, Carrie, that just really beautifully illustrates the principles that we discussed last week. So I just want to, first of all, welcome her to the show. Carrie, thank you so much for being willing to come and share your story with us today.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
So we talked last week about how oppression can come into our life as a result of choices that we make in our lives and then the impact that those choices end up having on us. So Carrie, can you just start off today by sharing with us some of the strongholds that developed in your life before you came to Christ and how they ended up impacting your life, you know, since that time and after you became a Christian?
Sure. I think based on the fact that, number one, I didn't know the Lord when I was younger and didn't get saved till I was in college, and growing up in not a Christian home and in a dysfunctional family, I think 3 of the biggest strongholds that developed over time were control, manipulation, and the fear of man.
Tell us a little bit about how those specific strongholds affected your life and just kind of where you feel like maybe those came from and how they've affected you since then.
I think control and manipulation really go together. And I think those develop, like I said, through a dysfunctional household, and some of that even being passed down generationally. And the fear of man, I think that really developed through a perfectionistic spirit. So being a perfectionist and feeling the need to perform, what happens then is you develop a fear if you don't do A, B, or C, you're not going to have good relationships, or you're not going to be able to please people. And I think even out of that fear of man, what developed was a root of deceit. And I didn't necessarily lie all of the time, but it was hard for me to be forthcoming sometimes because I was afraid of what the response would be.
Mm-hmm. So in sharing all of that, how would you say that you saw those different strongholds kind of manifesting in your life? What did that look like for you, you know, in those college years? And at what point in your life was there a turnaround in a moment, like a breaking point for you? Like, what did that look like for you?
Well, I was a sophomore in college, and my mom had gotten, she had started going to church when I was in high school and had given her life to the Lord when I was in high school. I mean, later, like when I was a junior or senior in high school. So she had been praying for me for pretty consistently for a few years. But when I was in college, I mean, I partied pretty heavily. I drank, I kind of dabbled in drugs and, you know, was involved in just promiscuous relationships, like I mentioned, just looking for that acceptance and approval, whether it was through friends or a sorority that I was in or through boyfriends. Mm-hmm. And when I was a sophomore in college, my mom got cancer and started going through chemo and radiation. And I think that's pretty much when I started to come undone and I didn't know how to handle it. And then one weekend, the boyfriend that I had had for 2 years, I came home to see him one weekend and my mom was in the hospital and he broke things off over the phone. And that was the night that I came completely undone and on my parents' oriental rug in the living room, bent down on my knees and gave my life to the Lord that night. Of course, everything didn't get better overnight. Sure. But that was the place to start right there.
Well, and you know, I'm interested even also to know, we talked some last week just even about how the enemy is, you know, some of the characteristics of the enemy is that he's an accuser and that he tries to really throw shame on people. And so did that play a part in your story? What did that look like for you?
Well, shame was huge, but you don't really recognize that as shame when you're an unbeliever.
Sure.
There's not a whole lot of a filter there, and you might feel guilty about some things, but there's not the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So after I came to the Lord, there was definitely a lot of shame once I began to recognize right from wrong and saw that I could do things completely differently. There was this huge, ugly past behind me haunting me all of the time. So yeah, the enemy, the thing I always think of is that he's not just a liar. He is the father of lies. I mean, he birthed it all. He embodies lies. So, and shame is just like a dark cloak that it can be very hard to get it off of you because he just dogs you with it. So yeah, I would say shame was definitely something I struggled with. And I mean, I'm 40 years old and I would say it's not something that is still a stronghold in my life, but there are definitely thoughts and lies that will come up that I have to take captive to remind the enemy, no, that's who I was, but this is who I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things also that we talked about in relation to that is just the importance of bringing sin and shame into the light and not keeping it hidden. And so what did that look like for you in your story and not keeping those things in the darkness, but bringing them out in the light so that the Lord can deal with them?
I would say that I was not really forthcoming with bringing things into the light when I first came to the Lord because I didn't really have a community. I didn't have accountability. I mean, I went to church, but there wasn't anyone that I was walking in relationship with at my church. I basically came on Sunday, sat there, and then left. It wasn't until about 5 years after I got saved that I left my hometown and moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and got plugged into an amazing church and church community. They became my family. They were my friends. I didn't know anyone when I moved here. And that's when I started learning about accountability and about the need to not just repent. Sometimes there's sin that you can repent of between you and the Lord. And then there are some times when you need to bring it out to somebody else because it's a bondage in your life. And you know you're not going to get free until you confess it to somebody else and they help you walk through it. Yeah. So that's what I did. I slowly started to uncover some of those secret sins. And the awesome thing is, once you tell somebody, it loses its power on you. It loses its power over you. There is such freedom in confession.
Yeah.
So I started to do that and walked through some healing process with some trusted covenant comrades and leaders at my church.
Yeah. You know, as you were saying that, I was just thinking about recently I heard somebody teaching on shame and on confession. And they said that, you know, confessing to the Lord brings forgiveness, confessing to other people brings healing, and just how there is a very important factor to confessing things to the Lord and accepting and receiving his forgiveness. But then when you speak that out loud to another person, there's a healing that happens in your heart that won't happen any other way, you know? So I feel like that's what you just described. And, you know, I know that you have an awesome husband and that he's been a part of this journey for you as well. So how would you say that your husband helped you along in that journey to freedom?
Right. I met my husband after I moved here and started walking through just a process of healing at my church. And I think, yeah, we've been married for almost 14 years now. So he's definitely been instrumental in my healing. And there were places that I needed healing that I didn't know until I got married. But one of the things was just, you know, at the right time of the relationship in the beginning, being forthcoming about things that I'd walked through in my past with sexual sin and addiction and different strongholds and that type of thing. And then after we were married, he's been very consistent in, obviously, we've developed a prayer life together, mm-hmm. but his private prayer life with the Lord is essential and covering me in his private time with the Lord. And then just really simple speaking scripture over me, praying scripture over me, declaring scripture over me, the truth of who I am. And I think also just being a godly man as an example of a godly man that I never had in my life. So obviously my relationship with the Lord comes first and my relationship with him is second. But out of my relationship with the Lord, I'm able to be who I need to be for him and vice versa.
Yeah.
So the wonderful thing is learning that all of that stuff that I walked through in my past didn't have to ruin my future. It didn't have to ruin my relationship with my husband. Mm-hmm. Did it affect it? Yes, because there are consequences to sin. Mm-hmm. And God is a redeemer, and I'm thankful for that. But there are consequences. And one of the things that I have such a heart for is just for women, young women, in keeping themselves pure mm-hmm. before marriage. And I'm a firm, strong believer in waiting until you're married. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's biblical, so sure. I'm all for it. but I didn't do that. And I saw how it ravaged me as a woman, how it caused so much shame, how it took me time to move forward intimately with my own husband because I had these images. Mm-hmm. I had things that flashed through my mind that I had to continue to renew my mind through the word, but it took time. It took time.
Yeah.
And so I just have such a passion for purity because I see how a lack of purity, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal in the moment when you're with somebody at the wrong person at the wrong time. But it has devastating consequences.
Yeah, yeah.
Even today, part of the redemption, you know, in my life in that area is getting to, there's a couple different things, getting to partner with young women who are not married and mentoring them and discipling them. And one of those areas I focus on is purity and saving yourself for marriage, but also just who you are as a single woman. And then also on a bigger scale, I get to be part of a ministry where we get to reach out to women who have been sex trafficked, who have been in the adult entertainment industry, and getting to share the gospel with them, the truth of who the Lord is, mm-hmm. and also just declaring the truth over them, even if that's not who they are right now and what they're walking in, speaking over them. Mm-hmm. This may be what you're doing right now, but God has such an amazing plan for you, and you are valued, and you are loved. And it's not about your body and it's not about your face.
Mm, that's so, so good. And it's awesome too. I'm just thinking about even how I've seen you out and about before meeting with girls who I know who are engaged or who are dating and mentoring them and talking to them about that. I mean, and I even personally have received some of that. You know, I'm in the process of planning a wedding and you've really spoken into my life about things that, you know, have been part of your journey and passing those things on to those who are coming behind you, you know, I just think is such an amazing part of your story and the way that the Lord has redeemed that. And, you know, I guess just kind of overall with all that you've shared today, is there anything that if you knew that there was a young woman struggling maybe in purity or just with any of the things that you talked about today, who's walking through kind of a similar journey, is there anything that you would share with them and what kind of things, like, I guess, what is your heart for people who might be walking through some of that journey that was similar to yours?
I think if I were, you know, connecting with a young woman who maybe was in a relationship with a guy, or maybe she just knew she was getting in deeper than she should without a commitment. I mean, it's hard to just overall give a pat sort of, well, you probably shouldn't do this or that. My heart is to find out what's at the root of why she's selling herself so short right mm-hmm. now. Like, what is at the root of that? Find out where that initial seed of a lie got planted and then help her to just kind of work her way through that.
So, Carrie, I think just to wrap up today, I would love it if you would be willing to just say a prayer for anyone right now who might be listening in who needs to experience the freedom that you've described today and what you've been able to experience and walk through with the Lord, if someone's out there like, man, I need that, I want that, if you wouldn't mind just leading a prayer for them, that'd be a great way to wrap up today.
Sure. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for this day. I thank you for how you've created us as women, so unique and so beautiful, completely made in your image. And I give you praise and glory for the redemption that I have in my life because of my relationship, God, with your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you just for every woman out there who's listening right now, who hears what we've been talking about and says, that's me. That's right where I am. And I feel stuck and I'm hurting and I don't quite know how to get out of this. And I just pray, Lord, that you, first of all, would make yourself known to that woman, that you would make your presence known, that she would, even right now as she's listening to the sound of my voice, feel you near and just feel the peace of Jesus over her. And I pray, Lord, that those lies that she's been believing, you would put your finger on and you would expose and bring to the light, that you would expose every dark and hidden place and bring it to the light. And I pray that you would give her great courage to come forth and to share with somebody that's trusted what she's struggling with, knowing that you will honor and glorify that. And Lord, I just pray your peace and your protection over women right now out there who are listening to this. And I thank you, Lord, that you are truly the one who brings freedom. It's your truth that sets us free. And there's nothing we've done or nothing that we could ever do that would separate us from your love. And we just receive your love today freshly. And we thank you. And it's in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Carrie, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story, for just sharing all of the valuable insights that you've, you know, learned over the years. We just appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
Thank you. I feel so honored.
So as you may have noticed, if you've been listening into this Ditch the Baggage series, this key today that we've been talking about, choosing freedom over oppression, is one that really incorporates all of the other keys that we've been discussing, like commitment to Christ and healing life's hurts and choosing forgiveness and renewing the mind. They really all work together. We kind of like to describe it as like spokes on a wheel, where you can't just choose one without the other. They all really work in conjunction with each other. So if you've missed any of the previous podcasts, I really want to encourage you to go back and to listen into the other keys, because when you can understand how they work together, there's a whole, new level of power that you experience from them. So we also just want to let you know that we have some really, really exciting things on our horizon here at Mercy. Beyond the Freedom Experience and Nancy Alcorn's book that's being released in a couple of weeks, we have some really cool things just around the corner, and we cannot wait to tell you more about them. So stay tuned to Mercy Talk next week, and be sure that you follow us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or all of them, so you don't miss out on some of the really big things that are coming your way. Also, just please join us next week, because we are going to be talking about our final key in the Ditch the Baggage series, which is maintaining lifelong freedom. And we are going to be joined by our transitional care manager, Jen Otero. So you definitely want to make sure and catch that. Thanks again for listening in today, and we will see you next week.